With me this morning, just for a few minutes, if you would, please. Let's look in the book of Philippians. If you look in Philippians, look in Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. Paul is writing to this church and trying to, you know, give them a little insight and a little understanding. And as we've always said, the book of Philippians is always about joy, or the word that's used here several times. I think it's maybe seven times, and joy is used, or the word rejoice or rejoiced is used another seven times. So in that whole line of thinking, Paul is saying, look, have some joy about you. I mean, have some joy. And he's talked about in chapter number 3 about how there are some that have, they do what they do, it's a fake, and he says they're actually enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ. He said there's some that are like that, and he talks about, you know, whose end is their destruction, and God's their belly, and their glory is in their shame, and they mind earthly things. In chapter number 3, as he winds that up, but then he says, for our conversation's in heaven, amen? And that word conversation means our citizenship. I mean, we've moved our citizenship from this place down here. Hey, I am just an alien down here. I am a stranger. The Bible says we're pilgrims and strangers, but our citizenship, our conversation, our life, our love, everything we want, it's in heaven. Amen. Paul said, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change, listen to what he's going to do, he shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to even to subdue all things unto himself. So look what, and he bleeds on over, if you will, into chapter number 4, and really it's just a continuation of that thought. And he said, therefore, because we have our citizenship somewhere, because the Lord's coming back, we're looking for him, because of that, he said, therefore, my brethren dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. He said, and I beseech you, Adias, and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's have a word of prayer real quick. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this morning. Thank you again for loving us and blessing us with this day. Just give us some insight and some understanding. And, Lord, just help us to rejoice in you. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you for everything you do. Save that when it's lost. May we rejoice in their salvation this morning. May we be glad for everything that is done today. And we'll just praise you for it all. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. I want to preach to you about this, about rejoicing in the Lord. You see what Paul said there in verse number 4? He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. I mean, Paul is saying, look, you've got a lot of things to rejoice about. I mean, as a Christian, man, we've got stuff that we ought to be able to just look up and say, well, praise God. You'd say, well, preacher, things ain't going that great at my house. Well, I didn't say that's going great anywhere, but I can tell you, we can still look up and rejoice. I mean, every one of us has the opportunity, we have the design, and we should have the desire to rejoice in the Lord. I want you to notice some things this morning. Let's just talk about them real quickly. Maybe three things about why you and I can rejoice. Why we can rejoice? First of all, I want to say that you and I can rejoice because we have salvation. Amen. We got salvation, and salvation ought to make you happy. Amen. You remember when David has committed the great sin with Bathsheba, and he's writing in the book of the Psalm, and he's repenting in the 51st Psalm, and he's telling God he's sorry. Tells him out. But you know what he says as he writes on down through there? He said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Right. What does that mean? That means there's joy in your salvation. In the book of Isaiah, he said that we ought to draw water out of the wells of salvation with joy. I'm telling you, there is joy in your salvation this morning. I mean, there, and if there's not, there ought to be. There ought to be. If you're saved, you ought to realize you've got the real deep-seated way of rejoicing. I mean, it's something that's down on the inside of you. You remember we've talked about this before, about how that the Bible said there are 9 things that are the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. What's the second one? Joy and peace. Those first 3 there, hey, God gives them to me and you for them to be on the inside of us. God gives you a love. God gives you a joy, and God gives you a peace. As Paul says right here, it's a peace that passeth all understanding. You ought to thank God you're saved. You ought to just say, "Preacher, can I say a word for God? I'm saved." Amen. I'm glad I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I've been saved. I'm going to be saved. I'm saved forever. Amen. Woo! You ought to be rejoicing in your salvation. You know what Jesus tells his disciples over in Luke chapter number 10? And you know the story, and we've talked about that many times, how that they came back and they're all fired up and they're shouting and hooping and hollering, and they look at Jesus and they say, "Even the devils are subject to us in your name." And Jesus tells him, he said, "Well, that's a good thing." And then he tells him, "You know, I saw Satan kicked out of heaven. I seen him when he fell down like lightning to the earth." He said, "But let me tell y'all something else." He said, "I want to tell you, don't rejoice because the devils are subject to you." He said, "But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." You ought to be thankful that your name is recorded up above in the courts of God and you're saved. Amen. Boy, that ought to bring you some joy. Jesus said you can rejoice in that. I mean, look, when you think about that, man, I'm telling you, when you say, "Well, preacher, what do you think about it?" I know I'm saved. How do you know? Because listen, Jesus said, "Rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Can I tell you the location of my salvation is in heaven? He said, "Your name is written." Hey, my name's been written on church books, and I belong to this church, that church, and probably 4 or 5 churches in my lifetime. But that's not what thrills me more than anything about being saved. I'm glad I'm a member. I'm glad I'm a member here at Old Bethel Baptist Church. Hey, let me tell you, I was glad when I was a member at other church. But can I tell you, the greatest thing that I know of is the location about my salvation is that my name is written in heaven. Amen? I mean, that's the location about my salvation. It's got a location that goes along with it. Amen? And that location is up there in heaven. But not only that, hey, can I tell you, there is a citation about my salvation. You see what he said there? He said, "Your names are written." There's a citation. Somebody has written it down. Can I tell you, God the Father wrote your name in heaven. When you got saved, he pulled out that big old godly pen. He pulled out that book of his and he said, "Let's see, let's put a new name." And he began to write your name in there. He wrote Steve Camp. Woo! Hallelujah. He wrote Donnie Bale. Thank God. And he wrote, Brother William, he put your name in there. Brother Larry, he put your name. Sister Teresa, he put your name in there. I'm telling you, he began to write names down in his book. Amen. There's a citation of heaven. Amen. Oh, let me tell you. Boy, when God writes your name down, it's done. Amen. He don't write it with an eraser to erase it out. He don't write it and want to mark through. Thank God, I'm glad. Hey, my name was on an ugly roll. My name was on a sinner's lost roll. My name was in an ugly place. It was Thank God it got written down in heaven. Amen. It's written down. Location of that writing, it's in heaven. The citation is, it's been written down. And I'm telling you, the duration of it is, it's done forever. Amen. When he writes your name down in heaven, he writes it down good and solid. And brother, he put it there for all eternity. The Bible said one of these days, God's going to open the books. And it said, well, the book, if your name's not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then you'll be cast into that place that is a lake of fire that burneth forever and ever. But I'm glad my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen? I mean, I'm just telling you, I can rejoice in my salvation. Jesus delivered me from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin, and one day he's going to deliver me from the very presence of sin because my name is written down above. I'm just telling you, it's in this book. It's there, and God has done it for me and for you. And through that, he has brought a deliverance into the lives of those that are his, that are redeemed. Amen? So one reason why I can say I rejoice. I rejoice because I have, and you have, we together collectively have salvation. But don't you notice another thing? Not only do we have salvation, and we can rejoice over that, but I want to rejoice over an anticipation. An anticipation. There's some things I'm anticipating. And there's some things as a saved person you ought to be anticipating. Look over in your Bibles in the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Peter writes, and you know, if you studied 1 Peter very much, Peter is writing to the folks that are scattered abroad. They're saved, but there's persecution, there's problem, there's trouble that's come their way, and the king and the emperors and all the rulers have come up against the Christians and Christ followers, and they've spread them out all over the place. But Peter begins to write to them and says, look, I've written to you, he said, man, so that you can know about your salvation. About your salvation. And there's some things that you ought to anticipate in your salvation. Look what he says in verse number 8 of chapter number 1. He said, whom having not seen, now he's talking about Jesus, whom having not seen, you love. In whom though now you see him not, yet believing, listen, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. I'm anticipating some stuff. I mean, and that's what Peter says. He said, I know right now you got it rough. Can I tell you, right now, we may have some obstacles. We may have some difficulties. We may have trouble in this life. But can I tell you, I'm anticipating some things. I'm looking for some. What are you saying? Well, I'm anticipating for one thing. I'm anticipating the end of this race. One of these days, I'm coming to the end of this race. I'm in the race right now. I'm running the race right now. I'm part of the race right now. But one of these days, I'm going to come a running, and the race is going to end. Amen? I don't tell you, folks, when it comes to the end of a Christian life, you know, there's a lot of folks, we were talking about this other day at Sister Lisa's mom's funeral. A lot of folks look at that casket and they say, well, this is it. This is the end. It's all over. Woo, can I tell you, that's just the end of this race down here. Hey, you just finished this course. But you know what? You walk into heaven that day, your race is run, and thank God the Lord's there. And you know what you hear him say? Welcome home, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you a ruler over many. Amen. Hey, there's the end of this race. I'm anticipating. You see what Peter says here? You ought to anticipate that this race is coming to an end. He says, whom now you have not seen, you love him, and whom though now you seem not yet believing, you rejoice. He said, with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith. One of these days you're going to get to the end of this thing. It's going to be the end of the race. And it's not going to be, Paul said, it will not be through a glass darkly anymore. But then it'll be eye to eye. Amen. You're going to see him, and thank God, what about that? Amen? Amen? You see what Peter also says here, and he said that verse number 3, he said, blessed be God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Amen. Woo, at the end of this race, there's something reserved for you. There's something there at the end of it. You know what old Paul said? Paul said, now, of course, y'all have heard me quote this a lot, in Acts chapter number 20, verse number 24, he said, when them people turned and said, oh, Paul, don't go to Jerusalem, you'll be in trouble, stuff, bad stuff happening. If you wind up at Rome, all kind of bad stuff's coming your way. He said, none of these things move me. He said, neither count I my life dear unto myself so that I might finish my course with joy. Amen. Old Paul said, I'm going to have a joyous time on the journey. Now, many of us get to looking around at all of this stuff that's going on, and we have troubles, don't we? But can I tell you, one of these days, I'm anticipating the end of the race. Can I tell you what else I'm anticipating? One of these days, I'm anticipating seeing his face. Woo! I'm going to see him. Oh, Stephen was there and they were stoning him in Acts chapter number 8. They were throwing rocks at him. Paul's standing there as Saul of Tarsus and he was agreeing with them and said, go ahead, y'all stone him, y'all kill him. And as they're doing that, oh, Stephen looked up and said, hey, boys, I see Jesus and he's standing at the right hand of the Father. He said, y'all go ahead and throw the rocks. I'm going to sleep and I'm going to go be with him. Amen. Woo. He said, I'm looking to see his face. I'm anticipating seeing his face. Oh, can I tell you, friend, that's going to be the sweetest thing that you've ever seen. There used to be an old guy down there at Brother Langston's campground, and his name was Ray. I can't remember his last name, but I remember Brother Ray. He was bald-headed, and he was blind. And he'd get up, and he'd testify. And every time he'd get up and he'd testify, he'd say this. He said, well, he said, I've never seen him. He said, but can you imagine this? The first thing these old blinded eyes are going to see, I'm going to see Jesus one day very soon. Woo! I want to see his face, don't you? I want to see the smile on his face. I want to see the calmness of his face. I want to see the peace on his face. I want to see the welcome on his face. I just want to see his face, don't you? Woo, can you imagine that? Thank God. Hey, first thing that you're going to see, you'll close your eyes down here in death and you'll open them up there and you'll see Jesus. It'll be the face of Jesus and thank God. I don't know how you can contain yourself. Amen. I mean that. Woo, you just, why, hey, y'all going to have to send somebody after me because woo, we'll be running down that race. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm anticipating the end of this race. I'm anticipating seeing his face, but I'm also anticipating praising his grace. Amen. Amen. When we get there, woo, what are we going to do? We're going to thank him for the grace that he gave us. We'll say down here, Lord, I don't know why you saved me, and I still don't get it. I'm like Mephibosheth. Why in the world would you want to do anything for a dog like me? Why would you want to do anything for me? But thank God he did. Oh, David said, I just love you. I just love you. I made a promise. Woo! Didn't Jesus make us a promise? He said, I'll save you, and I'll take you home, and I'll do it. And it's all because of grace. There's not a one of you in here that's done anything. Amen. The Bible tells over in the book of Romans, chapter number 1, there is none good, no, not one. There's not a one of us that's worth anything. There's no goodness. The only goodness we got, hey, the only good is his goodness that he's put on us. Amen. As I told you, somebody put that little saying out that says, the only sin that he ever had was mine, and the only righteousness I'll ever have is his. Amen. Oh, listen, it says that he became sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God through him. Amen. I'm looking. I want to praise him for his grace. I want to stand there, and I don't know, but I think, if, you know, the way it looks right now, we'll have some mind in the, I'm going to get up there, I'm going to quote the Bible. It won't be necessary, but I'm just going to say, to the praise of His grace, I'm just going to say, for you're saved by grace. You know what? Woo, thank God, I'm a running in with that crowd. Amen. There's a song that's been out for, I don't know, it's probably been out several years, but it's called, the name of the song is "That I Can Go In." And the song talks about a man that's standing on the outside of the gates of the city. And as he's standing out there, he sees this crowd of people approaching the gates of the city. And he asks one of the angels, he said, "Who is that?" And he notices them that, you know, that they're old and you know, bedraggled and had a rough time. He said, "Oh, those are the saints of old from the Old Testament. Those that followed the prophets and listened to Moses and all that." And he looked at them and they went into heaven rejoicing and shouting because of what they'd gone through, what they'd been through and what the times were that they were in. And he said, "Well, I can't go in with these." And then there was another crowd that come along. And they were all bloodied and butchered. And he said, and who are these? And the angel said, "Oh, those are the ones that were martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ. They gave their life for the Savior." And he shook his head and he said, "I can't go in with these." And then finally, there came along a mighty, mighty crowd. And the crowd was smiling and jumping and praising God with glee. And he said, and who are these? And the angel said, "These are those that have been redeemed by grace. Oh, that they weren't worth anything, but the Lord gave His life to." He said, "I can go in with them. Woo! Thank God that's me too. I can go in with them." Amen. And if you're saved, you can do that because of His grace. It's just simply because of His grace. I didn't do anything great. I didn't make any great stand. I didn't give my life. I didn't do any of those things. But thank God because of His grace. Oh, there'll be an old fellow that said, "Hey, I hung on the cross next to Him and I'm a going in." "What'd you do?" "I didn't do nothing. I just looked over and said, 'Lord, have mercy on me.'" He said, "Oh, I'm in a terrible shape. And when you come in your kingdom, remember, Jesus said, 'This day shalt thou be with me in paradise.'" Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Man, I'm anticipating some things. I can rejoice because of my salvation. I can rejoice because of some things that I have in anticipation. Let me tell you, I can rejoice even though I have many temptations. I mean, there's a lot of temptations that come. As I said, there are problems that come in this life. When you look at this little bit of writing that Paul does here, if you'll notice what he says here in the thought of Philippians as he's getting across the point to these folks, you see what the very first thing he says to them is in what we call chapter number 4, if you will. He says, look, some of y'all got some problems with each other. He says, verse 2, "I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord." He said, sometimes you have problems with people. Say amen right there. Amen. I mean, if you know any people, you're going to have some problems, right? And I'm afraid I know a few. But anyway, hey, people have problems, right, with other people. Sometimes there are people. And then, you know what he said? Rejoice. You know what he said after that? He said, look at this. In verse number 6, he said, be careful for nothing. He said, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Be careful for nothing. In other words, he's talking about sometimes we're going to have anxieties. Sometimes we're going to have anxieties and I don't care who you are. You can be the savedest saved person in this room. And every once in a while, something's going to grab a hold of you, cause you to be a little anxious. Cause you a little bit of fear. I mean, I don't care. I'm saved. And I want to tell you, sometimes there's still some things I don't understand. And it brings a little fear into my life. Amen? Amen? That's every one of us. But you know what Paul said? You know what the cure for our anxieties and the cure from having problems with another is? Praise the Lord. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. I mean, he said, you rejoice in him always, even in temptations, even in troubles, even in trials, whatever comes your way, just rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Amen? I mean, I believe that's one way you can get out of a lot of stuff. You just, as somebody said, just praise your way out of it. Amen? Just praise your way. You remember Paul and Silas locked up in jail in the book of Acts, chapter number 16. There they were in Philippi, in chains, in jail. There they were, locked up, couldn't do nothing. So what'd they do? Start singing, oh, woe is me. Oh, they didn't do that. They didn't start moaning and complaining and crying and begging for a lawyer and looking for somebody to help. No, the Bible said about midnight, they began to pray. They began to sing. They began to give praises to God. And God sent an earthquake and loosed them. They just praised their way out of that situation. I'm telling you, some of us got to do that too. When things come, just look up and say, praise the Lord. Amen. Now, some of y'all, probably many of y'all, don't remember this. I'd stand back there at that door many times when I first come here. And Brother Ralph Watts, Brother Ralph, Brother Daniel's granddaddy, and Sister Kathy's father-in-law, I mean, all of us knew him, right? And he had some health issues. And Brother Bill Castile, everybody called him Little Bill, Brother Bill Castile. He had some health issues, some heart issues and that kind of thing. Had all kinds of maybe heart attacks and, you know, heart procedures and all that. And it'd be days I'd be back at the back shaking hands and them two would cross paths. And Brother Bill Castell would look at Ralph and he'd say, praise the Lord anyhow. Amen. Amen? Just praise the Lord in here. What do you mean? Maybe we don't feel good. Maybe it ain't all going great. Maybe it's not perfect as we'd like for it to be. But praise God anyhow. You know that you can do that? He said, rejoice in the Lord when? Always. When is that? That's any time. Preacher, things ain't going too good. Shout and praise God. Preacher, things are going great. Shout and praise God. But preacher, things are just kind of middling. Praise God anyhow. Amen. Just whenever you can, worship and praise Him. I'm telling you, as I say, there's going to be times when we'll have some temptations. I mean, the Bible tells us over in the book of James, if you want to look there in James chapter number 1, listen to what James said. James says in verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, and but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Then look down at verse number 12. He said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Amen. What are you saying? I'm saying, man, even though you come into times of temptation, you can rejoice in the Lord. You can rejoice. Amen. I mean, trials will come and burden us. You're going to have some things that'll happen. I mean, do you think Paul got saved in Acts chapter number 9? You need to read on from there and follow that. His life, he wasn't kicked back on the beach, you know, drinking sweet tea out of a little cup and had his sunglasses on, laid back on a folding chair. That wasn't it, buddy. He was out there working and laboring. They beat him. They put him in jail. He was in places of heat. He was in places of cold. He was in places in the sea. He was in storms. He was in all kinds of things. You know what he'd say if you asked him? Praise the Lord. I'm here. I'm praising God for what he's doing in my life. Amen. And that's the way you and I ought to be. Because I'm telling you, trials are going to come our way. And they will burden us. But you know what James says here? James says, look, he says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That means many different kinds of temptations. He said, because trials are there to better us. He said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. God's trying to make you patient. Amen. I told y'all, there's a lot of times, I remember coming home, and when we were younger, and Sister Judy would be there at the house, and she'd look at me and she'd say, are you praying for patience? And I said, well, yes, by the way, I have. She said, stop it. I said, well, she said, everything it can has gone wrong. Praise God. Amen. Now, I know that's joking, but hey, it is true. I'm just telling you, when God begins to work in your life, He's doing it to bring patience. You see what James says here? He said, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Do you see that? The trials will come and burden us, but the trials are there to better us. God's trying to make you into something that you're currently not. He's trying to make you into something, and He's trying to make you into something better. He's trying to make you into something better, and He does that through trials. I mean, tough times may come. Oh, listen. James goes on and said, if any of you lack wisdom, if you don't understand this, he said, let him ask God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. He said, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, tossed driven with the wind and tossed. And let not that man think he'll receive anything of the Lord. I mean, you just got to make your mind up and say, I'm going, and this is here, and I'm in it, and God, you're doing something. I don't get it. But I'm going to get it. I'm going to find out. I'm going to go through it. We're going to come to a conclusion and a place at the end of it. Trials are there to better us. But then last of all, remember that your trials are there to bless you. Look at verse 12. He said, blessed is the man in James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. Boy, He's there to bless. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. It will make you joyous in the Lord when you come through those things. I mean, just grit your teeth and go sometimes. Amen? Amen? I mean, there's all kinds of things that'll come that are like temptations and trials, that are temptations and trials in your life. And what do? Lord, you're going to help me through that. You know what He says? I'm here. Amen? Can I tell you that even somebody like the great apostle Paul told the Lord, I don't like this thorn in my flesh. And God said, but I've put it there to make you better. I've put it there to bless you. He said, well, would you move? And God said, nope, not moving it. He said, my strength, God's strength, is made perfect in our weakness. Paul said, I'll therefore rather rejoice in the Lord. He said, for when I'm weak, then am I strong. I'm going to rejoice in my infirmities. Whatever God's doing, He's doing it for a reason. I don't know how God's working in your life and what's going on with you today, but I know God's got something there for you. Amen. God's got something there for you. Let's get ready to sing a verse of a song, if you would, this morning. As we get ready for that, hey, maybe you're here today and you're fighting some stuff, or some stuff's fighting you, or you're battling about the things that's going on, and you're just not sure about whether you'd say, preacher, I don't know how in the world anybody could rejoice in the situation I'm in. You can. You can rejoice.